beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And on the sixth day, God created man and woman. God created man and woman in his image, right? And everything was good. Everything was very good. But then we all know what happened. Man sinned. Adam and Eve sinned. And then their kids sinned. And then their kids sinned. And we sinned. And because we all sin, we all deserve death. So throughout the Old Testament, we find that mankind is in a mess of our own making, right? We've all sinned against God, and we all deserve hell as our eternal dwelling. And even though we try, and maybe even especially because we try, we find that it's impossible to save ourselves. So people began to cry out to the Lord. They began calling on the name of the Lord because they knew that they were powerless to save themselves, to pay for their own sin. And with that foundation, the New Testament very quickly provides the answer. Matthew chapter 1, verses 18 through 20. Now the birth of Jesus Christ took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. And her husband Joseph, being a just man and unwilling to put her to shame, resolved to divorce her quietly. But as he considered these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. Let's pray. Father, thank you for Jesus. Help us to trust in his name. In Jesus' name, amen. Most of us have heard the Christmas story before. Some of you may have even read it this morning with your family before coming to church service. Some of you may have even memorized it as children, probably from the Gospel of Luke. And being so familiar with this story, it can be very easy to take this story for granted. Like, it can be easy for us to be thankful for the birth of Jesus and completely miss the significance of it. I mean, there are a lot of amazing details in this story, right? You got the angel that appears to Joseph in a dream. You have Mary being pregnant, the virgin birth. And then you read Luke's account and you got things like the shepherds in the fields and the host of angels in the sky. And it's all very magical, right? All very peaceful and safe. And when we come to church on Christmas morning, we typically expect to hear a peaceful, safe Christian message about a baby born away in a manger where the cattle are lowing and the baby awakes and little Lord Jesus, no crying he makes, right? But I want us to focus on the last verse, the last thing that the angel told Joseph in this dream, which when we read it may sound safe, but has a power to turn your whole life upside down. Verse 21. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. I hope that by the end of the sermon this morning, this one verse fills you with such awe, because God works everything together for his glory and for the good of those who love him. See, this one verse gives us at least three things. It answers the predicament that we find ourselves from the Old Testament because of our sin. It gives hope to the hopeless, and it gives us a sure promise that we can count on for all eternity. So first, let me break down those three things. First, this verse gives the answer to the predicament that we find ourselves in because of our sin that is described in the Old Testament. See, as we already saw, the Old Testament clearly states our problem. We've sinned against God. King David said it this way in Psalm 51, singing to God, against you, You only have I sinned and done what is evil in your sight, so that you may be justified in your words and blameless in your judgment. A few years ago, Corey was probably 5 or 6 years old at the time, and he said to Abby, his mom, talking about her and me, "You guys are both good and bad." And Abby responded, "How is that? How do you figure?" And he said, talking to Abby first, talking about Abby, "Well, you look nice, but you yell a lot. And Daddy's nicer, but he always looks so grumpy." Well, you know, each one of us has both good and bad in us. We're both good and bad. We were made in the image of God. And we all know that God is good, right? So to be made in the image of God is to be made good. And yet, we've all sinned. We've all broken God's commandments. Since God made us, and even being made in His image, God deserves perfect obedience from us. But we've all disobeyed Him. And since we've all sinned against God, God is perfectly justified in our condemnation. How's that for a safe Christmas sermon? Merry Christmas. The Bible says we all deserve hell. That's one of the themes of the Old Testament, you see. But the Old Testament also points forward to the answer. See, we deserve hell, but God makes a way so that we can go to heaven. When the first sins were committed by our great, 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 great grandparents and so on, Adam and Eve, God said this to Satan in Genesis chapter 3, verse 15. "I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your offspring and her offspring. And he shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel." See, when the angel said to Joseph in the dream about Mary, "She will bear a son," the angel was referring back to this promise in Genesis chapter 3. The angel was referring back to what God had said about Eve's descendant thousands of years before. Eve's descendant would bruise the head of the serpent. In other words, after the very first sin was committed on earth, God announced that one child would crush the head of Satan. One child born of a woman would be the answer to all the problems caused by sin. And yes, that one child would be bruised by Satan. That one child would suffer great loss. In fact, that one child would have to die. But his very death would mean life to all who trust in his name. Jesus is that name. The angel said, "You shall call his name Jesus." Now, Jesus was not an uncommon name. In fact, it was an extremely common name. In Jewish circles, it was maybe even one of the most common names. It's actually the same name as Joshua, a great leader that we find in the Old Testament, who came after Moses and led God's people into the Promised Land. Now, some of you might be thinking, how can Jesus and Joshua be the same name? They don't sound the same, right? Well, it's just like how the name George, and when you say it in Spanish, is Jorge, right? It's the same name, but it's a different language. Same name, different language. The Hebrew name Yeshua is translated as Joshua in English, and that same name, Yeshua, is then translated into Greek, and it's Iesus, that's the Greek name for Jesus, and then when Iesus is translated into English, it's Jesus. And yet, so it wasn't a very uncommon name, it was a very common Jewish name, and yet even though Jesus was not a unique name, it was his name for a very unique reason. The angel said, "For he will save his people from their sins." You see, that's what the name means. Jesus literally means God is salvation. Yeshua comes from the combination of two Hebrew words, the name of God and the word for salvation. Literally, God is salvation. So when we hear that the angel told Joseph, "You shall call his name Jesus," man, we should be filled with hope.
Because whatever situation you find yourself in today, no matter how bleak you feel that life is, even if you have no idea how you're going to make it another year, you have hope because Mary had a son, and his name is Jesus. God is salvation. So don't put your hope in circumstances. See, if you're in bleak circumstances, don't put your hope in your circumstances. Don't put your hope that those things are going to change and everything's going to be perfect. Because chances are, things are not going to be perfect. I mean, I've never talked to a single person who said, yeah, my life is perfect. Nobody's life is perfect. So, I mean, even if your circumstances are bleak, don't put your hope in your circumstances. And even if your circumstances are good, don't put your hope in your circumstances. Put your hope in God, and He will save you. Put your hope in Jesus, because He is the hope of all nations. Put your hope in the only one who literally is. God is salvation. Because there is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. So you see, number one, this verse gives the answer to the predicament of our sin. By number two, giving hope to the hopeless through the name of Jesus. And whether you recognize it or not, without Jesus, you're hopeless. In fact, go ahead and turn to the person next to you and say, you're hopeless. Now follow it up with, without Jesus, without Jesus. Yeah. Without Jesus, you're hopeless. But, now say this. With Jesus, you have hope. With Jesus, you have great hope. You see, what the angel said is like the revealing of this huge gift. This huge gift. For centuries, God's people were waiting, wondering, crying out to God. And then this angel announces to Joseph, you know how you've been crying out for someone to save you? You know how for centuries you've been crying out for a Savior? Well, here He is. His name is Jesus. See, we have hope. Jesus came. We have hope. In fact, number three, it's a sure hope that we can count on for all eternity. Here's what the angel said to Joseph. Once again, you shall call His name Jesus, for He will save His people from their sins. He will. He will save His people from their sins. It's not a maybe. It's not a conditional statement on whether or not we earn it, whether or not we're good enough to be saved from our sin. It wasn't just a lofty goal that God had. No, His name is Jesus because He is salvation. He is the salvation that God gives to everyone who believes in Him. But here's where it gets a little unsafe again. See, as people living in a postmodern, new age, everyone's right society, we don't like telling other people that they're wrong. You see, Jesus didn't come and say that He is a Savior. He came and said that He is the Savior. In fact, Jesus said it like this in John chapter 14, verse 6. Jesus said to him, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through Me. Yet, a lot of people want to treat Jesus as if He's right for some and not right for others. Like Jesus can be my way, but He doesn't have to be your way. Because Jesus said, I am the way. We can't have that option. Jesus is the way, not a way. I read a story about a pastor named, and I'm probably going to butcher his name from some other country. I don't know how to pronounce it. But I'm going to call him Stevie Belinskij. Stevie Belinskij. But anyway, he was a pastor of a church in a tradition where they had confirmation classes. I don't think it was Catholic, but it was maybe Lutheran. Sometimes they have confirmation classes. Anyway, he was leading a confirmation class, and he always starts out his confirmation class with a jar of beans. Now, I don't have a jar of beans with me for it, but I have a container of Skittles, okay? Container of Skittles. I'm going to set it right here for now. Move these things. But anyway, he starts this class off with a jar of beans, he asks his students to guess how many beans are in the jar. So I went up this morning to some people to guess how many Skittles do you think are in this container? Go ahead and just shout them out.
234.
234. 136. Hold on, I'm talking too fast now. Okay, hold on.
234?
Yeah.
Janelle, you said what? 196. All right.
230.
Leroy, 230. 330. 550.
Sarah,
and then who said what? 386.
301.
Susie. Who else can take a guess? 301. Nick. 301. Anybody else? Want to guess? Rhonda said 400. Oh, by the way, I didn't even say if the person gets it or not. Amber, you have a guess?
Yeah,
165. 165. Anybody else?
Yeah.
Emily?
250.
Okay, well, that's it. Oh, I got word right here for the final two guys.
It's cool.
It's full. Need a number here. Matthew. Matthew says 350. I'm going to have to leave. All right. I think I've over my hat right there. One more. Anybody else? Dad says.
That's really hopeful.
700. Okay. Okay. That's all the predictions I can take for that. I apologize. Now. I need some people to tell me what your favorite songs are.
Christian
songs, okay. Anything Christian. Favorite songs? Trevor.
Days of
Elijah. Days of Elijah. Okay. What's that?
Nothing.
Say the inappropriate song. Joy in the world.
Joy in the world.
No. Well, you can't. What? In Christ alone? Alone. Anyone else? Most songs? Most. Anybody else? Favorite songs? Jesus loves me? Jesus loves me. I don't know if this is good. Okay. And Amber, I apologize. Anybody else? Favorite songs? Corey? Silent Night? Anybody else? Takata or Dekata?
Tokata.
I don't have to spell that. Spell that. Sorry, I apologize. Tokata.
TNF.
Takata in F minor?
D minor.
D minor, okay. Anybody else?
Emmanuel.
Emmanuel. That was Okay, anybody else? Okay, all right. That's all to say this. Here's what he does with this illustration. Alright, here's what he does. Alright. He asks the students to name these things, and then he says this. It's out that John, he gets the star V, it's like, I think it's killed. It's actually, 291. So who got the closest there?
They got 301, so
that's within 10. Anybody closer to that?
Nope.
Not Price is Right rules here.
386.
That's within 5. Who was that? Susie? Now she's got to share those. She got them
over.
Here you go. Alright. Now here's the question. Here's the question that he then asked his students for confirmation, okay? I just asked who was closest to being right on that side, right?
291.
So who is 291 there? Who is closest to being right on this side? Huh? So we found out who's closest to being right on this side, right?
Yeah, because there's 386. Yeah.
We found out who was closest to being right on this side. Follow me here. Who is closest to being right on this side?
Everyone.
Right?
What? Everyone, because their favorite song.
It's their favorite song. Okay, so here's what typically happens, these kinds of discussion. The students protest, and they say, well, there is no right answer, right? It's a matter of preference, personal opinion, matter of taste. And then the pastor says, so when you decide what to believe in terms of your faith, is that more like guessing the number of Skittles or saying what's your favorite song is? Always, from old as well as young, you get the same answers. The students always say it's more like choosing their favorite song. Well, as the story goes, that's the wrong answer. Right? And in terms of objective truth, that's the wrong answer. Because there can only be one truth. That's why it's called truth. So, I'm not disagreeing with him that this is more like faith. When you come to Christ as Savior, you are seeking for truth. However, maybe from another perspective, it's not wrong to say that choosing Jesus is like choosing your favorite song. You see, Revelation 13:8 says that Jesus, the Lamb of God, was slain for the foundation of the world. That's kind of a weird thing for the Bible to say, isn't it? I mean, Jesus didn't die on a cross as soon as the world was created. And he didn't die on the cross as soon as Adam and Eve sinned. So how was Jesus slain from the foundation of the world when Jesus didn't die on a cross until thousands of years later? Well, because Jesus dying on the cross was never the backup plan. It was plan A, right? It was the only plan. And you see, when the angel told Joseph and Mary that she was going to bear a son, it was in fulfillment of the promise that he made from the very beginning. And since God never lies and always keeps his promises, as soon as Adam and Eve sinned, and even before they sinned, Jesus knew that he was going to be born as one of us, and he had his eyes fixed on the cross, determining to die for our sin, promising to save us, promising to take us home to be with himself forever in the promised land of heaven. So you see, ever since people began to call on the name of the Lord, they may not have known it, but they were crying out for Jesus. They were calling on His name, the name above all names. They were crying out, Jesus, only Your name saves. Save us, God. Only God can save us. Only God is salvation. Jesus, we need You to save us. And the beautiful thing about that is that while they were crying out for that for thousands of years, that was the plan from the very beginning. It's like God composed this beautiful song from the very beginning. And then He wrote you into that song, so that it becomes your favorite song. And you have faith in Jesus and you call on His name. So I'm not saying in terms of the divide that you can choose whatever song you want. I'm saying when you place your faith in Jesus, that is your favorite song. It's not one of many, it's one of one. So will you call His name Jesus? In other words, will you recognize that God is salvation? And that you can only be saved through Jesus? You see, having faith doesn't mean merely knowing all the facts. Faith is about surrendering to the one that you have faith in. See, Jesus doesn't just want you to believe that He came and died, but for you to trust in Him, trust that He came to save you from your sin, trust that you have hope in His name. And if you really trust in Him like that, it's going to radically transform your life. It's not merely believing certain facts that there's a certain number of Skittles in the jar. It's about joining in with this beautiful song that God's been singing since the beginning of creation. And if that
I mean, that transforms your life. You begin to give Him your life, not reluctantly, but out of joy. You'll begin reading His Word daily and praying and talking with the God who saves you by His grace. And you'll want to gather with other believers to worship Him. And give Him your time and your money and energy to share the gospel with others so that they can experience the joy of Christmas as well. I guess what I'm saying is this.
They say Christmas comes but once a year. But if you know Jesus, the joy of Christmas is always in your heart. And you are always in awe of how Jesus will be born and then look after you. And His very name, Jesus, reminds us that God is salvation. And through faith in Him, we have hope. As the gospel, to believe the gospel. This way. Lord Jesus, you are saved from our sin, our pain, from our hopelessness in you, Lord. By your grace, through faith, help us to believe and rest in you. Your name is right.